Welcome to the podcast. My name is Jamie Knight, and I am a realtor with Real Broker here in Cajun Country, Lafayette, Louisiana. The goal of this podcast is to provide massive value by bringing insider access to our area's top agents and find out how they've been able to achieve massive success in their business. My hope is that you take away a few things from their experiences to grow your own business. My guest today is a dear friend and fellow realtor, Molly Rodriguez. Molly has been in the real estate business for over 10 years. Molly is a top realtor in her rural area of St. Mary Parish and has quickly become the top agent in her parish. She was a waitress who started her growth in the service industry and has continued to grow that first-class service in her real estate business. I can't wait for you guys to hear her story. Welcome to the podcast, Molly.
Thank you, Jamie, for having me.
Yeah, so we got to have some lunch and hang out a little bit and get some ideas for the podcast. So I'm so excited for everybody to hear your story. It's so awesome, and you're such an influencer in your area, and I'm so happy to have you on the podcast. So start off by telling us a little bit about where you came from. Tell us a little bit about that waiting job, and tell us how you got into the real estate business so we can get some framework.
I started my service career at Mr. Lester's in Sherrington, Louisiana, Cypress Bayou Casino.
Yeah.
It's a fun place. It was a fun place to work for 18 years. Definitely taught me life skills for customer service, taking care of people, table reads, learning different situations, how to handle it, and just hard work. And I know that people know when you're doing the best you can do, they care, that you care. It was a fun time. Met a lot of people I never would have had the opportunity to meet before, which definitely came in handy when I started real estate. A lot of people that I took care of at the steakhouse for that many years wanted to see me do well, and they definitely were a good source of referrals. It's been a blast. It's been very lucrative. It's been very rewarding. It gives me a lot of opportunities that I feel it'll carry on. The things you do in real estate, things you do in a high-end fine dining restaurant, it's all based on people connections. And I like people, and I think people feel that. And the people, when I first started real estate, they knew me from Lester's. They thought of me when they saw me. I'm selling houses now. Well, I know Molly when she served drinks to me and served steak
and
to me.
And knew my order and knew how I liked my steak.
Yes, yes. Never forgot their to-go bags either, I might say.
Yeah.
And my first listing was one of my call tables from the steakhouse. He took a chance. He was like, Molly, you got your real estate license? Heck yeah, girl. Come on over to my house in New Iberia. And of course, I had Carolyn list it with me. But it was fun. It really was. It was scary at first, as everything is.
Right.
But I've been very blessed, or very luckily. I've had my work ethic from waiting tables comes into play with real estate, averaging things. It's nothing set in stone. You can make your own hours. You can work as much or as little as you want. So I really feel that I had a step up in the realtor world because of my fine dining restaurant experience, people experience.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, and you had mentioned earlier to me when we were hanging out earlier that you might have somebody who lost $50,000 on the craps table, and you're like, now they're coming in and like they're happy to they're wanting their steak like absolutely perfect. So, and I'm sure that's similar to how we handle our real estate business, right? You might have a listing that has gone stale, and you know, maybe it's been on the market previously, and they're mad at the other realtor, mm-hmm. and here you are, you know, as the new realtor in the game and trying to help them out. So, you know, tell us about how you kind of approach that person that might have had that bad steak, or you have that person that maybe had that bad experience with a realtor before. How would you approach that same person who had that bad experience maybe with the craps table that didn't go his way, $50,000 down?
Right.
Like, how are you going to walk up to that table, and how would you approach that expired listing that might have had a realtor that didn't do that great of a job for that person? So talk about the parallels between those two.
I'm competitive by nature, and I want to win, and I want them to win. So, and honesty, like just telling them, I couldn't have sold that listing either at that price. It was, I mean, with all due respect, it was overpriced.
Right.
I could stand on my head and juggle fire sticks in the front yard, and we're not going to sell it. So just like she didn't sell it, I'm not going to be able to sell it at that price. So let's just try to change the way we did things in the past. Now, unlike the $50,000 craps table loser, that's when competitiveness does come in. I'd like to feel that I can win them over. And usually it's the hand is quicker than the eye. Is that what they say? Distraction or pointing out the positives. At least you get to hang out with me and have a good steak, you know?
Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah, I like that.
It could be worse.
You lost $50,000, but you're sitting here eating a steak, right?
Right, and you're talking to Molly. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I love that, that confidence. That confidence definitely kind of rings true right there. I think the podcast today, we're really talking about longevity in the business. And I know I kind of, you know, give you, you know, everybody loves Molly, and you look amazingly young. You know, I always give you that compliment.
Well, thank you.
And you, you know, not only that is you've got a youthful way about you. You're vibrant in the business. You've got a smile that's, you know, contagious, and you've got such a great style, and everybody follows you and loves you, and you walk into any room and you brighten it up. So, you know, talk about, I guess, a little bit about, you know, what it means to have longevity in the business. Like, if you are a newer agent that's listening to this, like, what would you, you know, like, if they're setting their business up for the long term, mm-hmm. like, what ways are you, you know, really connecting with your clients, or in what ways are you, you know, trying to make sure that you're that one that gets that referral?
I love getting out into the community and having conversations. I think I can honestly say every single person I meet knows that I sell real estate, and it's what I do. They may not be looking to buy or sell, but a lot of the times they do have someone who is, and that's referrals. Repeat business, for sure. I feel people know when you've worked really hard and you help them get through something that can be pretty scary to most people. We don't buy and sell houses every day, and even those who have, the rules change, things change. But I know you should be diversified. Don't put all of your eggs in one basket. But I've done really well just old-fashioned kids and babies, shaking hands.
Yeah,
you know,
I like that.
Talking to people, and I like to talk. So,
yeah.
I see a lot of people. We talk a lot about real estate, and it can be high to have somebody say, "You're that girl that sells in Franklin in the flood zone area."
Yeah,
yep, that's me.
Yeah, that's me.
Got a few gray hairs. But yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's me. That just closed that deal with $9,000 worth of insurance.
Yes,
right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm that one that got the job done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. And in those rural parishes, you know, I know a lot of people who are listening maybe all over the state of Louisiana, but in some of our areas, I know some of the states around the nation are having some struggles right now with insurance rates and pricing and whatnot. And that's really affecting, I think that's one of the things that has affected our parish probably the most, and Lafayette Parish, but also St. Mary Parish and St. Martin Parish and Iberia Parish and a lot of those surrounding parishes, we've had some struggles with insurance. So that's been the one thing that's been a really big struggle for affordability of housing just in general. So I know you and I share a lot of, I guess, interest as far as listings, and that's really like how we've built our business. So just talk to me a little bit about, you know, your focus on listings and like how you've set up your business.
First impressions, for sure. But information and data is always important. When a seller, potential seller, asks me, what do you think I can sell my home for? I know well enough that my opinion doesn't really come into play. I have to have data to support my opinion. And it's like diagnosing when you walk, either why did this home not sell? There's usually three reasons: price, location, or condition.
Right.
And it's real easy to see when you first go to the home that it definitely is selling itself short. So I love having a little notebook and just walking with the sellers room to room and making notes in a tactful way, of course.
Yeah, people like that, though,
they too. Have to hear it. I feel like you have to be comfortable to say it, be honest with them, because when the home is listed and there's a buyer, potential buyer with their realtor, they're going to see the same things usually that I see. And for whatever reason, I remind the seller, it's like you're having a party. You want to put on your best dress. You don't want to have your ratty tennis shoes on and not complete it. So you have a great product. It's a great location. It's a great price. So how can we take advantage of that? By walking through and doing these things that across the board, I feel, make a big difference and help move a home. It sounds silly, but it's just changing the, you want them to feel like they can imagine themselves there, or they can feel comfortable there, or you, every house has negatives, but if you soften the negatives with the positives, it's all about, I guess, softening it to where you're getting more power for your punch. You're going to come out the gate with the important things, the presentation, the first impression, curb appeal for sure. And it's usually a lot of elbow grease, time to get it ready, sometimes a little money, but it shouldn't be very expensive to get your home ready. I mean, unless you have to get your roof changed,
right?
Which, you know, we can talk about that with insurance, but I feel like it's my responsibility, because I'm coming from contribution. I want to help you sell your house.
Right.
So what I'm going to say, you shouldn't be offended by it, and I don't want you to be offended by it. I just think it's important. You know, if we want to do this, do it the right way, sell it for the most we can in the least amount of time. But while you're living in the home, you can get through this. And there's little tips and tricks. I love baskets. Those little baskets you can get from Dollar General or Family Dollar for the bathroom countertops,
right.
For example.
Start
all your little
personal
things is so true, because you use those things every day. But if you get a showing request at 8:30 in the morning and you have to go to work for 9, you know, you don't have time to clean your house. You
right.
need to have, but those baskets come in handy. You just take that basket with all of your items in it, stick it in the cabinet. Same thing with the kitchen. But if you're living in the home, people understand you're living there, but less is more for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and those are good tips. I think the notebook thing is a good idea too. I do the notebook thing. I think it shows them that you're listening to them, that you care about them, and that you want, that you're paying attention to what you're doing. So like, I like to write down things like roof, to, you know, changed in 2020. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's awesome. You know, mm-hmm. that's cool. Buyers are going to love that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or, you know, brand new appliances. Oh, write that down, you know, make sure. And buyers, sellers love that too. They love that they can show that you're listening to them, that you're hearing them out, and that you're valuing the things that they think are valuable about their home. So those things need to be spoken to the buyer on as well. So having that information is good. And you know, little things like we talked about, like a lot of sellers will change the roof, but then they'll leave that.
Yes, the spot. The spot.
Yeah, they'll leave the one spot in the ceiling, and you're like, hey, what's that? Like, because buyers are going to see that.
Oh, how many times that roof is brand new, and when they've already shared this with me. So when I walk in, look up, and I see that telltale sign, I look at them, and they say, yep, that's why we had to change the roof. That's why we have a brand new, expensive, nice new roof. And so that's when that kilts in the spray can,
yeah,
with a ladder, yeah. Because you've done all this work. You've spent the money. No matter how many times you can show a buyer an invoice for this roof, tell them it's a brand new roof. You can see it. It's that feeling. There's certain things that scare buyers, and stains on a ceiling are one of them.
Yeah.
So I really feel like that's one thing I won't negotiate about. We're going to change. We're going to get that stain gone.
Yeah.
Because, we don't want to hold ourselves back.
Yeah, those things that can cause buyers to think that there's a larger problem than there actually is. You know, you and I have been in the business a long time, and so we've been through the COVID times, right, which was a very crazy time in the real estate market. I know for me personally, I ended up spending about a month in Florida And thankfully, I was a listing agent at that time, because had I been a buyer's agent at that time, what would I have done? Oof. Like, I closed so many transactions out of town in that month that I was gone for COVID times. But that was just that thing about being a listing agent. And a listing agent, like, you just have your time. You have your time, you know, you can laser focus on your sellers. And then you also have the opportunity to double in those deals, which is so awesome. So, like, is there anything else that you like about being a listing agent?
Oh, gosh, lots. Like, I love being a listing agent. I mean, I like being a buyer's agent, but I feel like that's my thing. And it's so true. You can be on a boat. In fact, lots of times
you're on a boat.
I used to say, well, if I feel like it's getting a little slow, let's just go out and go fishing and watch that phone ring. Or let's go to the camp, watch that phone ring. But like you said, representing the seller, you have a buyer's agent that's going to open the house, that's going to show the house, write the offer, go through inspection. Yeah, the more listings, the better, because it's almost like you have a little army of buyers of agents that are helping you sell the house. And in rural areas especially, I've had a lot of good luck in St. Mary representing both sides. And I always say it's like raising kids. You have to be fair to both sides.
Yeah.
Or the deal will die.
Right.
You know, knowledge is power, and I'm like Switzerland, or to a certain extent. I have to be neutral.
Right.
I can't tell you this buyer or you this seller, but I can guide you guys, you know, so that we're doing things on the up and up. And usually it's a win when you have both of their interest. That's why I'm glad we do have the ability to have dual agency in Louisiana.
Yeah, for sure. And it can always be a win-win when you genuinely care about people. And that's the thing, is like you can genuinely care about the buyer winning and the seller winning in all of those scenarios. And that totally allows it to be a win-win. Mm-hmm. So that definitely, I'm sure, helps in any area. Is just really, like, when you're the dual agent, is just really, truly, you know, and look, we're bound by ethics or whatever, but I mean, when you truly care about the best interests of both people, is finding that path to that both people can win.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that too. Like, even if I'm not representing the buyer, I still want to sit around the closing table across from that buyer and that agent and say, congratulations, you're getting a great home.
Right. And you don't have to have separate closings.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, that's awesome. But tell us a little bit about your journey from, like, you know, beginning to maybe where you are now, and like what kind of things that you grabbed from those early days, like the trainings and stuff like that. So what were some things like that you, in the early days, that they really taught you that you kind of still ring true today?
Size of an acre. That's
the size of an acre. Yeah. Can you say, can you remember it?
43,562.
There you go.
Is that? Yes.
Yeah. You get it. I don't know if that's right or not. We'll have to Google that, but.
Well, people skills. I mean, just learning. And well, if it's not in writing, it doesn't exist. That's a real thing.
Right.
Yes. I learned that. You have to have everything in writing. And I'm old fashioned with notebooks. I like ink pen. I like notebooks. I like to doodle, dribble, draw, and write. I write. And we have these expensive phones that do everything for us.
Right.
But my brain does better seeing it in writing. So I would say doing your homework initially, before you go to the house, you should have already pulled comparables, not just what sold in the last year, but what's our competition? You know, right. We're going to the party. How are we going to show up?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So a couple of podcasts back, we had Sam Hayes on the podcast, and he shared a crazy cat story. So if you want to go back and take a listen to another funny cat story, go back and listen to Sam's podcast. But Molly also shared with me that she had another crazy cat story that she wanted to share on the podcast. So tell us a little bit about that cat story.
Everyone has a cat story. But one of my listings, I realized that they had a family pet, a black and white cat. Say his name was Archie. Loved Archie. And they were very concerned that Archie would get let out.
Right.
When a realtor came with their buyer. So they would make these, they would have to go home from work, leave work, pick up Archie and bring him to their mom's house. And I told them, I said, guys, I really don't have to do that. We are real careful. No realtor wants to lose a family pet. No one wants to have to call and tell you this. So they're going to be extra careful. And we can leave notes. It'll say, this little black and white cat is friendly, but he's sneaky. He's going to try to get out the front door.
Right.
Just be real cautious not to leave the doors open and don't let the cat out. Well, first weekend, they're going out of town. We have a showing, and they let Archie stay in the house. Buyer's realtor comes, shows the home. She knows Archie's there. She didn't see him in the house, but she's aware, as cats do sometimes, they hide in the closet or whatever. So as she's locking up, she sees what she thinks is Archie under the carport. And she's like, oh my God, 2 hours, literally 94 degrees. She hunts this cat down, wrangles it up, so proud to put it back in the house, safe and sound, then locks up, then calls to tell me that she said, you know, she took care of it. Sellers get home the next day, and sure enough, Archie's in the house, safe and sound, as well as Archie's little street cat friend who had been hanging out under the carport and wanted to come inside. Yeah, so that's always
nice.
Fun.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Everybody's got a little cat story for sure. Yeah, that's funny. Archie had a little friend. They probably did some screwing around in the house
having
and
a
messing
party
stuff
in the house.
Up. Having a little party. So just so we can kind of maybe give us one more thing that we can maybe tell realtors who are maybe listing agents that are listening to the podcast that you might give them a little bit of advice on listings. What might you tell them?
I've learned that you have to have those conversations up front, especially if you're competitive. The name of the game is to sell the home. It's fun to get listings, but just having a sign in the yard, that's not the goal. You want to be able to sell it. So that takes you being real and maybe saying some things that nobody else was comfortable saying to the sellers. Whether it's, we need to clean this up, we need to have this price closer to what the data shows, or when we get a showing request, we really have to make an effort to leave, to have the house in great shape. Because what if that buyer's in town only for a little bit of time? Usually they'll give you notice, but like we have to be a team. We're all going to be on the same team with this goal to sell. So I think it's mostly with listings, is doing the hard stuff up front should help you have a smoother process, selling it, less time. And it's just educating your sellers. Because that's what we're here for. There's a lot of people who have their own businesses. They could be in their 50s, successful business, but they haven't sold or bought a home, or definitely haven't sold a lot of homes. And things change. And just by keeping them updated with what's going on in the world and being creative with, that's a whole nother conversation about closing cost. It's whether it's if your offer is, if it's built into it or it's not a bad thing. It's usually just knowledge, sharing things with them that they definitely don't have a clue about, and it'd be weird if they did. So I'd say it's not any fun getting the listing unless you close the listing.
Right.
So you know that you could have done better in the very beginning usually, and you regret doing it when you didn't sell. So I just try to make sure I have less regrets rather than hopefully sell it. So that would be important, I'd think.
Yeah, for sure. I love that. Yeah. And I think that rings true to a lot of other podcasts that we've talked about. Just you being the authority on your area, you being that trusted person that they're contacting and they're saying, hey, I'm coming to the doctor, right? Like you don't go to the doctor and you say, hey, I think we need to do it like this. You know, you go to the doctor and you say, hey, what's going on? What do we need to do? Being that trusted person that genuinely recommends the right things and recommends the right pricing because it's just better for them, right? So, sometimes it's easier to be the second agent who gets it and lets that person go screw it up the first time, and then they come back to you and they say, okay, Molly, now what do we need to do? I'm sure you've been in that scenario a million times. I've been in it as well.
It's like putting quarters in the slot machine. The second you stop, the person comes and sits down, puts in one quarter, and it pays out. That's how I think of it as well. Like, you don't want to be that last listing realtor. Oh, no. We're going to see what it looks like, what's going on last time, and we're going to try to prevent that this time.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, for sure. But I appreciate you making the drive down from your parish and come and chat with us on the podcast. It's awesome. So I hope that realtors that were listening to the podcast got a lot of value from you and your experiences in your small town and your service that you've given to, you know, the steak restaurant at the casino and dealing with these people with who've lost $50,000 on the craps table. So I appreciate your friendship and your time, and I appreciate you coming on the podcast.
Thank you, Jamie. I feel the same way. Thank you very much.
I hope that everybody got a ton of value from it. So if you guys want to follow Molly on social media, go check her out, and comment on how young she looks and everything else. But she's over there crushing it. So I hope that you guys would connect with her on social media. And I appreciate you guys listening into the podcast. And I hope you have a great day.